Flying Cool Text 79, August 28, 2005. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. It's early Sunday morning and got my new MXL 990 microphone, which is what we're using right now. This is the one I mentioned maybe a show or two ago that is on sale from Musician's Friend, and it's only $60. Very good sounding microphone. Well, I gotta watch that clipping. I notice it's very, very sensitive though. This is just me touching the space bar. And I mean, I'm not even pressing it, I'm just going down to slack space 2 where to press it. Also noticed that I'm not going to be having a fan or anything else running in the room. Anyway, enough about the microphone. Got a voicemail or two, a couple of emails, but what I really want to focus on this show is Bookshare.org and the books from the O'Reilly Network, especially sending them to the Bookport and using them in that environment. So let's get right into the first voicemail.
Hey there, Larry. This is Scott in Mount Airy, Maryland. Listen to Blind Cool Tech number 75, and I believe the mystery sound, I swear it sounds to me like it's the like a grill being ignited using one of the electric, I guess they're like a piezo igniter.
Well, that's exactly what it is, Scott. We already had the winner, though. But, you know, since you hadn't heard it, you won, too.
Also, I wanted to comment on Gentleman Dean had basically bellyaching, I guess, more or less, for lack of a better term, about the podcast. And, you know, I guess my reaction, and I, you know, it kind of prompted me to call it, was that, you know, you're giving of your own time and to produce these, and there's a lot of experimentation that goes into obviously recording. And by the way, the binaural microphones, man, I tell you, those are absolutely incredible. I was walking in my backyard, and I had backed up a bit myself when I heard some of the car thinking, couldn't believe it. I was like, my God, those things sound close. And even the Clinton Amtor, I was standing out the backyard, and wife come out there, and I could have swore she was a part of the podcast at first. It was quite odd. But in any event, I guess my issue is, you know, it's great that you put these up and so on and so forth, and maybe that just fits a bill for him. But yeah, we all are all busy in our lives, but it's you know, this is something you're doing of your you know, in your own time, for the most part. Yeah, maybe the traffic can be a little distracting from time to time, but I don't find all that particularly distracting. And I find a lot of the walks to work and so on and so forth, the sound seeing tours, you know, conversation with you and Liz and Shelley and so on. I mean, I think that adds a real human element to all this. Maybe podcasts aren't all that great with some, but you know, you get out of it whatever you want. And you know, all the complaining, hey, it's like anything else. You know, if you get a bunch of mail you don't want to read, you hit the delete key, so fine. And especially his comment about you know, how he doesn't want to automatically download these things. Well, hey, you know what, there's a lot of bandwidth out there, but people like that, all, you know, trying to suck things down off of a server. The server is, you know, it only has so much horsepower. I think that's pretty selfish when people have that kind of mindset. They don't want to do this. Well, then don't listen to the podcast. Don't subscribe. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, it's not fair to everybody else. If you're one of those people who don't want to use an iPod or a similar podcast catcher, you know, it's it just doesn't make sense. flash you there, but he also be penalized because you just don't want to be bothered. And you know, you suck all this bandwidth up by downloading all these things and causing the server to have to work extra hard. It's not fair to everybody else. So anyway, I was just a little put out with the comments. I felt that some of them were valuable suggestions, but at the same time, it was a whole lot of complaining. And I couldn't just let that one pass by. So I really do appreciate the podcast and appreciate all that you do and put all the effort you put into it. I think they're all very valuable, and they've been very interesting and informative and very helpful in a lot of cases. And I owe you one on the Olympus digital recorder, so I will be getting that to you now that I have a means to record it, and hopefully get that to you soon. So have a good one, Larry.
All right. Thank you, Scott. And I really would appreciate that that information on that Olympus digital recorder. We had a listener yesterday or the day before, in fact, that wanted a little more information on that. Yeah, those binaural microphones are, oh man, they're amazing. I've done the same thing, Scott. I've been outside and someone will say something, and I think it's part of the podcast or part of, you know, what I'm listening to there. And then, you know, that's a sign of well, I don't know what that's a sign of, but it's just an interesting experience. It's an interesting feeling. And, you know, I'd love to see how far we can push this. Rob and I were talking the other day about what a clever invention the human ear is and why we couldn't get a microphone like it. You know, the shape of your ear prevents wind from hitting directly into it, and yet at the same time it has a surrounding area that can kind of direct sounds into the place where they need to be. So, you know, if maybe there are some high-end microphones that can do that, and I'm sure with microphones, as with anything else, you can spend as much as you want to on them. These particular ones, I think I mentioned. You know what? I gotta quit saying I think I mentioned. I say that all the time, and I apologize. We're about $80 at Sound Professionals, and they're okay. I noticed on that one I did Friday that there seems to be, I can't believe it already, there was a little bit of, almost like there was a wire loose in one of them, a little bit of a short. I'm hoping that was maybe the microphone wasn't adjusted just right or whatever, and it was hitting on part of me, but we'll have to keep a closer eye on that. I hope they're okay, because I was actually planning on using them later on today. I think Shelley and Marley and Liz and I are going to go to the Kentucky State Fair and try them out there, and that should make for some interesting ones. Yesterday, you know, I have an easy time remembering what I said and what I didn't say on the show. Yesterday morning, however, my show didn't record. I think my iRiver battery was low and or dead, so it didn't record, and I do not have an easy time remembering what I said on shows that recorded or didn't record it. So I think my solution to that is, hey, let's make sure that we're always recording when we think we're recording, which is also why I really, once I hit that record button, I would prefer to spend the time later editing things out than pressing pause or what have you, because I want to be ensured that I'm ready to go. Okay, I actually had a couple more voicemails that I left on my other media device. From Adam, who also guessed the mystery sound correctly and suggested that when I name these files or put the ID3 tag info in, to use three digits instead of two, and we'll We will do that, Adam. Good talking to you, in fact, and thank you for calling. If any of you other good folks would like to leave a comment on the audio line that we'll play on the show, the number is 206-984-9203. Let's go right into a new mystery sound, and I think this should be pretty easy for you guys. You've actually heard this on the show before, so here it is. Ooh. And again. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh. Okay, I think probably some of you will recognize that. That actually was on another show earlier, so should be pretty easy to remember or to identify.
Okay. Inbox Outlook.
Let's go to our email.
Hello, Larry. I don't know if you mentioned it, but we would like to know where to purchase the kind of mics you use. It is awesome to hear your walks with full stereo, even though it takes up more space. Love the way the goose came through on the second media show. Say hello to Jake, from Jake.
Okay, yeah, so those are from soundprofessionals.com, and the model number is even on the webpage at blindcooltech.com.
Hi, in your podcast for August 26 regarding the Google PC search utility, when reading the mail a listener mentioned a previous podcast of the DVRAC keyboard. I'm wondering where I can listen to this original podcast for more info. Also, do you know of any tutorial written or otherwise for the DVRAC keyboard? Thanks, bye.
Okay, actually there wasn't much in that original show, just mentioning Dvorak in passing. Probably your best bet is just to do a Google search for Dvorak tutorial. Let me hit Windows G here.
8874.
Type D-V-O-R-A-K T-U-T-O-R-I-A-L.
Microsoft Internet Explorer. Search button.
And I bet we'll find some good ones right here.
About Google. No link or no link. Business Solutions link. Search button. Advanced preference for tutorial link.
So did I misspell that?
V-O-R-A-K space T-U-T-O-R-I-A-L G-S tying tutor link. Google Home visited link. Advertising business solution. About Google. No link or control.
What? Some days it just
ain't about Google
right.
Link. 20 over.
In
groups, news, fruit, local, desktop, more link, for tutorial edit box, MSAA mode on.
Oh, I did misspell it, and it was offering to give it to me right, and I'll
search,
take it. Okay.
Advanced preferences, Dvorak, GS tying to Google Home, advertise, business, Dvorak, link,
well,
preferences, advanced search, Dvorak tutorial.
Yeah. Oh,
search
man,
button, advanced search.
I apologize. I'm just not.
Vork tutorial at MSAA.
Let's correct this.
O R space T U T A I L.
Now that actually.
Go to Google Home.
That typo, doing an O for an A, is a fairly common one in Dvorak. And, you know, sometimes there's certain things that you can type and, you know, certain mistakes you'll make. I've also noticed it's interesting to discover patterns in how you're typing when you're learning a new system or a new layout. And there's certain typos that are more prevalent in Dvorak than they are with a regular keyboard. And for me, switching the O and the A around is one of them, and the H and the T around too, for some reason. Anyway, let's see what kind of stuff we got
go
here
to
in ours.
Cached link, sim cache, ABCDA basic course in Dvorak link.
Yeah, so there should be plenty. Just type Dvorak tutorial into Google, and you should get plenty of hits on that. Also, I did make some lessons in Talking Typer. Excuse me for that clipping. I'll cut back on that a little bit. That I will try to find. I don't know if I still have them or not. I will do my best to look around and see if I do, though. And if I do, I will make them available. Talking Typer, by the way, is a typing tutor program from American Printing House for the Blind that you can actually download a demo of at aph.org/tech, T-E-C-H.
DVRAC keyboard, inbox, Outlook Express.
Okay, DVRAC. Let's go to the next email.
I'm receiving an error message when I paste the following URL in my podcasting software. http://www.blindcooltechbct.xml link. I have heard that Jeff Bishop was having trouble using our media to store his podcast files as well. Could you be experiencing the same problem? Hope you'll post something on the Blind Cool Tech page so that we will know what is going on. Aloha, Milton M.
Okay, no, that actually doesn't have anything to do with our media. That is, if you would have opened that link, you'd have had the right address. I just didn't have it right in the part that you see on the screen. I left off the .com from blindcooltech.com. So if you'll just do the http://www.blindcooltech.com/bct.xml. That's the new official and hopefully will never change feed address now. And I'm trying to get the old one redirected, but I'd like to request that you guys switch over. And you know, that's another thing that I wished these podcatching clients would have, a way to let the feed specify to it that there was a new feed address. And so that maybe that'll be a idea for a feature. And I know Shelley from Shelley's podcast is probably going to get back at me and not change hers like I didn't hers for mine, like I didn't change mine for her. So I know it's a hassle, you know, to type all that in and just getting around to doing it. You know, I'm usually listening to these shows nowhere near my computer, so it's not like I can just pop in there and do it while I'm thinking about it. And I'm sure it's the same way for you. I'll give you plenty of notice before we disable that old feed, though.
Hi, Larry. It is very interesting to hear that someone had a pair of JVC binaural headphones. I still have a pair, which I haven't used in quite a long time. The two separate microphone jacks were for recording with an open reel deck or with a JVC portable cassette recorder. There were some binaural recordings issued on record, but to my knowledge, they were never for sale. I tried to get an adapter so that I could use them on my mini disc recorder, but was not able to get a stereo signal. I suspect that the problem is that sometimes the adapters are not properly made. The reason that binaural recording never took off was because you had to use a pair of headphones in order to properly hear it. I did have a unit which you hooked to the tape monitor jacks of your receiver, but it really didn't do much. Take care and we will talk to you later.
Yeah, those binaural microphones are amazing. I realize that it's best to listen to them with some good headphones. I've actually got a set of speakers down here in my office that are some Klipsch Chorus 2s that sound pretty darn good on them too. I'm right in the middle of them, so I can get a pretty good effect of the environment. I would like to see more recordings like this. I can see why they didn't ever become really popular, but you know, maybe now's the time. Maybe we're in a environment now with the digital downloads and everybody using earbuds or earphones that these, you know, could actually become a little more popular and prevalent. I know they make some excellent sound seeing tours. I'm really happy with the way they come out. One of the things I've noticed that would be useful, especially for orientation and mobility or tours like we did of the Galt House, where we're trying to, you know, orient people ahead of time, like before the convention. It's a little confusing as you hear a subject move from left to right to know whether the object or the person with the microphones moved. So it'd be nice to somehow convey that information. I don't know how it would be that, you know, it wouldn't make it obtrusive. And also the same thing kind of applies, like with the Galt House tour, as you turn, you know, it's really important to let the person know that you're turning and maybe in what direction you're heading. At least it provides you with a lot more information that way.
Hello Larry, just to let you know that I am enjoying the shows. I really like the ones involving your dogs, as I am a guide dog owner in Scotland in the UK. So I close with saying keep up the good work with the shows, and I will keep listening to shows, because I have been listening to them for a while and I heard about you on Jonathan's Mosin site. Regards, Tracy Gorman from Scotland.
Oh, cool, from Scotland. We've got listeners in South Africa, Austria, Australia. Now Scotland. That's very cool. And, yeah, I'll be sure and give Jake a good old pat on the head for you there. And welcome to the show. Any of you other folks, too, that are new to the show, be sure to check out our website at blindcooltech.com. And there's a address there that you can subscribe to these shows and have them automatically delivered to your bookport, iPod, PC. No fees involved. These are free. I'm doing this on a volunteer basis, just because I enjoy doing it. And, well, you know, I can't remember whether I mentioned this or not. It's that thing about remembering. I know what I said, I just don't remember whether the show took or not. Someone asked me why I do these, and I do it for a couple of reasons. One, to, you know, I say the same thing to a lot of people, and hopefully this will get to a lot of people at once, and I like sharing any information I know, but just as importantly, I learn a lot from you guys, and I think we can all kind of share this information together. All right, let's go ahead and get right into Bookshare. I'd like to give you a demo of the site, and especially what I really want to focus on is these interesting books from O'Reilly that are converted to DTB, digital talking book format, and how amazing they are in terms of their navigation, how useful they are.
Desktop.
So I'll go to my
22.
Go to my desktop. I'll hit B to get to Bookshare.
Bookshare.org. Log into Bookshare.org. New books. Mike. Submit button. Thought. MSAA mode off.
Put my password.
Submit button. Skip to main.
And I'll go down here to browse.
Skip public private con Bookshare. Edit. Start. Follow this. Thought. Authentic. Simples. Advanced. Browse books. Visit. Skip to.
And then I'm going to also pick browse recent books. There's Bookshare. You can always look at the last 100 books that were uploaded, and that's actually pretty valuable. I enjoy having that capability. One of the things you'll want to do, though, is set your preferences to show 50 at a time, or I wish they just let you show all 100 at a time. The default is just to show you 10 at a time, and you have to ask for the next 10, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of a hassle. Nothing you can't live with, but it's just more convenient to do 50. So I'm going to go back down to browse again.
Skip private con book edit start browse new books visited link.
Browse new books.
By Derek Story link.
And we'll go. Let's go
top.
Skip page down and then shift tab.
Arnold
back.
Mark Nelson classic next 50 titles visited link.
Yeah, so we can tell that we're at the top by this next 50 titles link. And we'll go through the listing of the books.
Classic shell scripting visited link.
So I press tab and I get classic shell scripting is the name of the book. And if I want to download that book or get more information, I can hit enter. Or I can tab.
Nelson H.FBB link.
There's the author, and if you want to see other books by that author, you can click on that link. If you keep, we'll just press down arrow to look at the rest of this information.
Arnold Robbins link. Quality. Excellent. Almost no errors. Language. English. Synopsis. an essential skill for Unix users and system administrators, shell scripts let you easily crunch data and automate repetitive tasks, offering a way to quickly harness the full power of any UNIME or copyright date.
Okay, I do want to download that book, so I'll shift-tab
Arnold
back.
Robert Nelson H'd Classic Shell Scripting Visited Link.
Press Enter.
Skip to main.
And I'm going to press down arrow, page down.
Skip.
And then shift-tab.
Daisy Digital Talking Book Format Visited Link.
To get straight right to that link that I want. Now, it's going to go ahead
close
and download.
Close this dialog box when download complete. C. Unpack. Button.
And there's dial my
Bookshare.org
tool.
Book unpack. Edit box. Enter your Bookshare.org website password.
Now, what happened there was that when you get the dialog that says open or run, I just selected open, and then earlier I had checked the box that says don't ask me this anymore on these kind of files. So, you know, normally you think open is a security risk. This isn't really an executable, though. This is a data file, a file whose extension is BKS, and the associations are set up so that the Bookshare unpack tool will automatically run. So it's safe to go ahead and do open, and then if you check that box, it will just download it and open the tool for you right away. So I'm going to type my password.
Bookshare.org book unpack. Edit box. Folder. CBKSH.
Yeah.
Bookshare.org book unpack. Yeah. Bookshare.org book unpack. Yes. Button. Dialog. Bookshare.org book unpack. Open the book now. Default.
Okay. We're going to say no, we don't want to open it now.
Bookshare.
And we don't want to open another one.
Bookshare.org book information.
Okay. Now we're back to the information about this book. To get back to the list of new books, we can simply press our back key in Internet Explorer, which is Alt left arrow.
Classic shell scripting.
And we're right there. We can continue with the rest of the
by
new,
Derek Story.
The rest of the new books. What I want to do, though, is go ahead and send this over to the Bookport. Let me find my cable here, my USB cable. Get into the Bookport.
BP Launcher. Edit box. File name and dialog. Bookport firmware.
Okay, so we want to now we're going to
close C button.
Oh, what's
dialog
here?
Bookport queue manage. You have files waiting to be sent to the Bookport. Send now S button.
Oh yeah, I had uploaded a couple of files earlier. I'll skip
look
that for
nine.
Now, though.
Classic.
Okay, here's the book we want.
Classic shell script.
Go ahead and send it.
Cancel.
Press the enter
button. Dialog. Getting book information. Classic shell scripting dot off. Default. Cancel. Button. Look in I.
Okay, it's over there. I'll unplug the Bookport.
Bookport 2.1.0.7.
Now, what's interesting about these books is that you have the navigation capabilities.
Beginning of file classic shell scripting converted from DocBook.
So I can press the next section key command on the Bookport, which happens to be the 3 and the 6 together.
Classic shell scripting. Forward. Preface. Intended audience.
And it's just like walking through the table of contents.
Software tool design concepts and print what the Unix tools are. How to combine the tools to get your job done. About popular extensions to standard tools. About indispensable non-standard tools. What you should already know.
So if we want to read what you should already know.
What you should already know, you should already know the following things. How to log into your Unix system. How to run programs at the command line. How to make simple pipelines of commands and use simple IORs.
Okay, so that's a book from O'Reilly that's converted to DTB from the native O'Reilly format. And what I want to emphasize about these is that the navigation, as you saw right there, is very, very useful. These books also are not actually scanned, so there are no OCR errors. So I think we learned a couple of things today, how to quickly and effectively navigate through the Bookshare.org system, especially looking at new books, how to set it up so that the unpack tool runs automatically, and how useful the navigation is in the O'Reilly books. That's going to do it for show number 79. Hope you will join us again, and hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to contact us, our audio comment line is at 206-984-9203. You can leave us an email with the address blindcooltech@gmail.com. Or you can check out our website at blindcooltech.com. I'm Larry Skutkan, and I hope we'll see you again soon. Thanks for joining us.